Blog Talk Radio. family is Campton the Oracle, one half of Remnant's Gathering, aka Widow Gang Gang. And I wanted to drop a really quick video just speaking on some of the energy that I feel is prompting us to evolve. And it's kind of like an evolve or die type energy. Evolve or die. And I say that because I have been battling with death in my mentality, death in the way that I move throughout the day, and I'm gonna explain what that means. So sometimes the trauma that you have experienced when you're going through the awakening and you're being triggered and consciousness is expanding and your higher self is calling you up to be activated and to not be dormant and to not live on autopilot and to not follow everybody else's rules and regulations and traditions and beliefs. You're questioning everything, and as you're questioning everything, you're figuring out what's right for you, and what's right for you may be totally opposite of what society has taught you, what your culture has taught you, what is acceptable in your family, whatever religion, belief systems that you grew up in. We're finding what is right for us, and this is a whole, this is the collective energy of what we're being called to do, to explore ourselves and step more into our authenticity and to be sovereign and to be individuals and not clones and not living because of the pressure to fit in. And so, you know, so when you awaken from the matrix, when you come out of the artificial womb, the artificial time frequency, what happens is you just begin to question everything, and you begin a deep self-exploration, and you go on this journey, and you find yourself just falling into these rabbit holes, you know, and you're just seeking truth and seeking what resonates with you. And so in all of that, the trauma, we have the ancestral trauma, you know what I'm saying, the generational shit that maybe you've been called to clear in your family. We have the trauma that, for those of us who are intuitives and empaths, we have the trauma that we're feeling from our land, from shit that happened to our ancestors, and things that happened to people, maybe that we have some type of bloodline connection to, you know, and you can feel it pulsing from the land. And if you don't know the history of the land where you live, you know, this could be really impactful on you. And you're feeling the things from your past life because maybe you're awakening now to clear the karma from a past life. So you got all of this happening at one time. And so the trauma comes to the surface, and as you're doing these deep dives into your subconscious mind and you're shifting more towards, you know, middle path, for those of us who are already awakened and have left religion institutions, you're seeking that. You right-hand path, and then you middle path, and then it's like left-hand path. Oh, that's subconscious, unconscious shit? Okay, well, maybe I need some of that. And you're just going through all of these different things that you're discovering, different ways to master yourself. And in doing that, sometimes I just have these moments and these days where I just wake up in some type of programming, some type of trauma that has been stored in my body, my emotional body, my mental body, my pain body, my desire body. And I'm feeling the impacts of those things needing to be healed and purged. And I'm reliving some of my childhood wounds. And maybe I'm being triggered. And I'm remembering how, as a kid, I did sometimes feel neglected or left out or abandoned. Or even some of the trauma that I experienced as an adult. And all that stuff just starts coming to the surface. And it can either bring you into a depression. You could go into having a spiritual emergency, which we taught about on our YouTube channel. You could go into wanting to numb yourself. You could start reaching for substances or retail therapy or just doing things to cope and to make you feel better. But your higher self is calling you to expand and to reach your highest potential. So you also feel the conflict of that. And so all of a sudden it's not okay anymore for you to be mediocre. It's not okay anymore for you to choose the things that's not going to take you where your aspirations are wanting you to go. And so you get in that struggle, and you get in a struggle where the wounded part of you is like, no, I need things to stay the same. I'm more comfortable in a controlled environment. I don't want to try new things. I don't want to open myself up. I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want my family to not accept me anymore, you know, because of whatever it is I'm doing or believe in or what I identify with. All these things coming up for you, and you can feel this internal conflict. And whenever your present self is not in a vibration that is connecting you to your higher self and you've been desiring to evolve, you're going to feel that conflict and that inner turmoil. And I said, I've really been feeling that lately. And so when the trauma came up for me, I suffered with something called complex PTSD. And so my nervous system gets dysregulated with certain triggers and certain memories, you know. So if you have nightmares, if you have memories of things coming back to you just out the blue, and it just kind of stops you in your tracks, like a lot of those things can be signs of complex PTSD, which I believe most people who are experiencing this awakening thing are feeling that. And starting to identify and see, you know, I'm processing a lot of trauma, a lot of shit that I ignored. So in the age of Pisces, that energy was like supportive of us being on life support. You know, we weren't really living. We were just following the narrative that we were given, you know, by those that raised us, those around us, so just don't rock the boat, operate in my egoic self. The false self is what gets approval, and I don't have to deal with as much conflict and issues, so I'm going to operate in my false self. But when you awaken, you realize that there's this whole other self. You have all these other facets of you. And so when my complex PTSD shows up, it renders me useless. I almost suffer from paralysis, to where I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't even want to move. You know, I just want to sit still, cuddle up. I just want to try to comfort myself. It's crazy. And I'll catch myself doing that, and I realize I'm processing some trauma. And so the best way to deal with that, if this is resonating with you, is to begin working on detoxing your mind of the judgment of you and how you respond and what you do and the things that you're learning about yourself, you know, as you're doing the path, walking the path of self-realization, you know, and just releasing the judgment on that. And it can come up, and whatever it is for you, you know, substance abuse is a big thing in my lineage. So it's something that I have to be keenly aware of. And it's just, I was born into really interesting circumstances where there were certain substances that I would need to function, and where the pain level isn't so great that I can't function at all. So it's, you know, it's one of those things where nobody can really tell me exactly how to do that, you know, unless you have experienced it. And so I'm always having to gauge my choices and look further down the line and see, this choice right now, is this taking me to where I want to go or away from where I want to go? Is this keeping me stuck in a second place or allowing me to come out of it? And but there is a time for that death current as well. And the death current is just that part of you as you're going through the transformation. Sometimes some parts of you need to die. Sometimes some of your coping mechanisms are needing to die. So again, in the age of Pisces, we were on life support, and you could kind of live on autopilot, and it was cool, you know. But now it's like your body won't let you eat what you want to eat. You can't drink whatever you want to drink. You can really feel the results of not getting enough sleep. You can feel the results of not exercising. You can, like, all of a sudden now we're extremely energetically sensitive to everything happening with our temples. And so there are times, though, where you need to go into that death current, and you may become, you know, it's like a cocoon. You go into a cocoon for your transformation to happen. And so you just kind of have to be aware and diagnosing yourself and saying, okay, have I been in a cocoon too long, you know? Am I not living right now because I'm so busy coping and trying to get through this awakening process of self-realization and self-actualization? Am I just coping or am I living? And so, you know, so there is a time for life and time for death. And this is why with full moon energy and new moon energy, we talk about it on our channel. We welcome those energies and we perform rituals and ceremonies that are going to be in alignment with that energy to maximize the results that we are seeking to obtain on the path of self-mastery. And so with that comes the battle of being able to step out of the conditioning from your trauma. And the only way you will get to the next level is releasing the judgment, not just of yourself, but other people. And that is a whole other topic that I'm probably going to do a build on that topic alone. But the religious indoctrination, it caused us to be very judgmental in a way that I would say I would compare to a mental imbalance, a mental illness, to where we had to always be judging everything we were doing in an attempt to be right, or in an attempt to have the people that raised us be proud of us or happy of us, or the people that's around us. You know what I'm saying? We were really trying to do that and be that, to the point where we internalized that and we lost ourselves in that judgment. And so if you are awakening and you came through religion, whether it was firsthand, secondhand, or third, I talk about what that means, whether it was you, whether it was your mom or dad, grandparents, whoever, most of us were definitely touched by the indoctrination of religion. And so you went through this cycle of judgmental, but you would call it discerning yourself. We always had these words that we used that kept us in that sleep and in that slumber and under that spell and that stasis, where we weren't really getting to know ourselves, because ourselves seemed to be something that was so terrible, bad, broken, wounded, just couldn't get it right, sinful, no good thing about you since the day you was born. You born in sin, shaped in iniquity. You just ain't shit. You ain't shit. You ain't shit. You ain't shit. And you got to repent, 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 pay some tithes, some offerings, read some scriptures, pray, 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 fast, fast, fast. And we did so much of that our brains have been trained to hone in on the things we're not doing that we feel meet our expectation or the expectations of other people around us. And then we begin to project that on other people. And so people who came through some form of religion, we are extremely judgmental and can be very, very critical, which is why we're so critical of ourselves. And what this does is it gets in the way of you being able to find your authentic self, because you have a subconscious program that you are probably not aware of until you hear me talking about it now. And that religious, judgmental, policing type mentality is in there somewhere, always casting judgment on you. And what that does is, one of the five sutras of the age of Aquarius is that to know that the person that you are seeing is you too. So there is something and everything outside of you that triggers you that has a point of contact inside of you, which is why it triggers you and which is why you're so keen to see it. And so knowing that all of those things are somehow a reflection of maybe some soul work we need to do within ourselves, releasing the judgment is going to be the only way that you'll be able to have compassion for yourself and compassion for other people. And so, the surviving religion series thing, we're still kind of working on the rest of that because we're exploring it right now, and it's so deep. religion caused a lot of trauma. And you know, we can get into how much blood been shed because of religion and the wars and all of that. But just beyond that, it has caused a lot of trauma. And so in our search to regather the parts of ourselves that we lost, that were fragmented and compartmentalized, in our effort to figure out, why is my soul here outside of all my conditioning? In order for you to continue to evolve, you got to work on releasing your judgment and finding out, is my subconscious mind judgmental about the stuff that I have recently learned about that I'm coming into the knowledge of? So your conscious mind might be like, okay, my beliefs are changing. I'm evolving. I'm becoming more of a 4D consciousness person than a 3D consciousness person, and ascending even into 5D mentality. So it's not the self-exploration on the spiritual journey of self-realization is not you judging yourself, criticizing yourself, feeling convicted every single day that you can't get it right, and then trying to fix it. See, all this stuff accumulates, and it creates trauma that stores in the body. What we're doing now is just being the observer. So whatever is happening outside of you that triggers you, is you got a mental block where you can't see your shadow aspects, and some of your shadow aspects and subconscious programming is just below your radar. Pay attention to the shit that really, really make you feel some kind of way that happens outside of you, and then you'll be able to make the connections. And this is what it's going to take to reach our authentic selves, because your authentic self just might be something that resembles something that you had really strong judgments about prior to awakening. So if your authentic self is something that you once viewed as wrong, bad, demonic, evil, any of that, and this was the case for me, my authentic self was to use all forms of spirituality to help other people and to help myself. But a lot of those tools and modalities and belief systems I viewed as evil, wicked, demonic, and bad. So my authentic self was being contained inside of my own judgments. So in order for me to cross over from the Christian prophet to who I am now, I had to be able to release the judgment of using those tools and modalities, and it allowed me to step more into my authentic self. Did I pay a price for it? Yes. Did I upset some people? Of course, I'm sure I did. But at the end of the day, I can sleep at night knowing that I am reaching my highest potential, and I am searching for the parts of myself that I lost and whatever conditioning that I was born into this world to experience. And as you do that, you will sacrifice some things, but it's worth it, because you're no longer forfeiting the essence of who you came here to be just on the strength of how a handful of people may react to it. So I wanted to share this because we want to go deeper into the surviving religion and finding your authentic self, and I just want you to remember what I'm saying to you, that your authentic self, for those of you who, like, I'm having a hard time really communicating with my higher self and communicating with my spirit guides, which are different aspects of you, different kingdoms and energies and consciousness that live inside of you, right? And so if you're having a hard time making a connection with the unseen parts of you and the other extensions of source, then it may very well be because you have some subconscious programming that still sees some of those things as harmful, wicked, evil, demonic, judge, and your judgments of that is keeping you locked out from stepping more fully into your light and to who you came here to be. So, you know, I hope that this helps somebody. But, yes, y'all, the Age of Aquarius is supporting us with the energy of Maya, truth and balance, so that we can find our authentic selves. And you know what's so beautiful about stepping into your authentic self? You filter out the things that just don't align with where you're going. The more authentic you are, that shit is like a Brita filter. And it removes so much stuff that you didn't, it's just water and you couldn't even see it, right? But the Brita filter is just constructed in a way that's going to catch it, and you open it and look at it and you're like, yo, it's crazy that all of that was in the water I had been drinking. And so that's what it's like. So yes, you may lose some things and let go of some things, but remember, like, you're being filtered. You're becoming more pure, more authentic, more sovereign, more walking in your divinity, however that looks. And so you can't lose. You cannot lose. When you are finding your true self, you can lose nothing, because your true self is everything. And that is the point of attraction for everything else. So when you seek God first, the divinity, the essence of source inside of you that came into this world to have an experience and bring something to this world only you can bring, when you tap into that part of you, everything else will follow. And things will begin to work themselves out because you're in alignment with your authentic energy. I'm full. So much more to share. So go to the website. Like, we really dive deep. We dive deep. And for those of you all who like to dive deep too, you know, for those of y'all just in awakening, we got a lot of stuff for you too. Like, we really try to include as much of the collective awakening as possible. So check the website at remnantsgathering.com. Don't bring your judgments. Leave your judgments somewhere else, because, you know, we created this to be a sacred space to not bring that. That's why we welcome all people. And when we're on our lives and stuff, we vibe with everybody, because people need a space to practice their authenticity without the worry of being judged, ostracized, outcast, all of those things. So that's why we created the space that we did. It's a very sacred space. And just bringing judgment into that space is just not going to be tolerated. It's not going to be beneficial for nobody. It's toxic. And the world cannot change. We cannot be the architects of the new earth unless we begin to detox the things that have kept us oppressed, enslaved, and repeating unnecessary cycles. Man, your third eye has just been kissed. Peace.
peace. Infinite waters diving deep once again. We're out here in the heart of nature, baby. You hear that bird up there? Oh, yes. How to unleash your subconscious mind to attract whatever. Let's just, woo, breathing in that good ass prana, baby. We got a lot to talk about. So someone wrote to me and asked, how can they reprogram their subconscious mind? How can they make it work for them to start living the life they've always dreamed about? Question to you. Have you ever thought that maybe one day in the near future, human beings will be able to fly? And then you get out of bed and you start singing, I believe I can fly. And then you start flying. Then you just land on your ass. And we ain't even had breakfast yet. Can I get a hello? Then you get back up and start flying, right? I believe in a world where anything is possible. That's a great start. So let me share with you what's helped me along my journey unleash the power of my subconscious mind to attract whatever. Right now, I am living in absolute abundance every single day. And it's only because I started to discover hacks in the subconscious mind. I started to reprogram it and I started to tap into the secret. What am I doing? Touch yourself like that for a minute. Okay? Our body is hardware, just like a computer. Our beliefs, think of your beliefs as an operating system. Just say Windows. And then think of your thoughts, every single thought you have, as software. Okay? Gerald Zaltman, have you heard of him? A Harvard Business School professor. His research is fascinating. He said over 95% of our purchasing decision-making comes from our subconscious mind. Now, what is our subconscious mind? This is our reptilian brain stem, right? Our reptilian brain stem, which developed, let's say, about 250 million years ago, right? Do you remember back then? Yeah. That is where it comes from. Okay, then you've got the mammalian brain, and then you've got the new brain, the neocortex. So the mammalian brain is about 50 million years old, and the neocortex, the new brain is about 40,000 years old. It's the new one. So our subconscious mind, remind yourself this, is our reptilian brain stem. It is very impulsive. This is what reptiles do sometimes. They just want to eat, feed, fornicate, sleep. Okay? And we ain't even have breakfast yet, right? So it's very impulsive, compulsive. It's not really thinking consciously, but it's super powerful. Many secret ancient texts, they talk about the dragon, that there is a dragon that lies in each one of us. And if you know how to tame this dragon, master the power of this dragon, it will take you to wherever you want to go. Slow motion this side. So the subconscious mind can be our greatest friend if we know how it works, because it holds the most power. It is 1 million times more powerful than our conscious mind. Runs over 95% of our life. It is running the show. It runs everything, okay? So how did I start to unleash? How did I start to learn how to tame this wild dragon inside of me to make it work for me to attract whatever I wanted every single day? It starts like this. Your subconscious mind is always alert. It never, ever, 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 ever goes to sleep. So check this out. Before I was awake, I used to sleep with a TV on, right? About 15 years ago. And I would wake up saying weird stuff, okay? Because my subconscious mind was downloading everything which was coming out of that TV, which tells lies to your vision, right? I thought I was sleeping. I wouldn't pick it up. But you see, the subconscious mind is like a tape recorder. It records everything 24/7. So I started to realize this. TV out of the window. We can clap for that, right? Job one done. Mission accomplished. Yippee! Then I started to play a lot of classical music. A lot of binaural beats. 432 hertz. And sometimes, even if I fell asleep, I would wake up feeling so calm, so empowered. So become aware of all the frequencies around you. That is why environment is so important when you are talking about reprogramming your subconscious mind, because you are now training it to act in a different way. So if you could just for 1 second realize that, hey, if I'm going to sleep, like, am I just sleeping next to my mobile phone? Okay. And it's always beeping. Once again, you are absorbing all of that information. So become very mindful that your subconscious mind is always downloading new software from your environment that impacts you at every single moment. What I started to realize is that you got to start questioning your beliefs, because it's all BS. It's all BS. Spoiler alert, belief systems. Have you ever seen someone that's gone under a complete mind over, not makeover, mind over, like they are thinking totally different, totally differently than they used to think before, and they are just soaring from strength to strength, and you're like, look at you go, what happened to you? Nobody knows. Chances are they probably started to question their beliefs, and that person is me. I used to have a lot of self-limiting beliefs. Sometimes, okay, people ask you, can you do that? And instantly, back in the day, I used to say, I can't do that. I never say I can't anymore. I can allows you to be ready to do something. I can't shuts you down completely. Right? So you got to start questioning all of these beliefs that you can't do something, or that it only happens to these people, or that, like, one very self-limiting belief was that I always have to work super hard to get a lot. I'm here to tell you that people who get the most sometimes do the least. It's Pareto's law, 80-20, 20% effort, 80% results. This is the secret. It's not about hard work. It's about smart work. And that's what I realized along my journey. You got to learn to start changing your habits. So our subconscious mind is very habitual. It likes doing things in patterns, like every single day you, well, wake up at the same time. You wake up at the same time and then you watch Infinite Waters at the same time, right? I know. Don't worry about it, right? You get dressed at the same time. You wear the same shoes. You go to the same job, right? You look at your phone, right? It's all very habitual. Now, the more you do that, the more it's reinforced. And you are actually programming your subconscious mind to keep doing that, and it's just keep doing it, and it's doing it, and it's doing it, and it's doing it. Oh my gosh, I can't stop, Ralph. I want to get off this wheel. How do we stop it? Okay, you got to change the habit. You see, it takes about 28 days to create a new neural pathway, to change the neurocircuitry of our brain. Neuroplasticity states that our brain changes based on our experience. The great psychiatrist Dr. Norman Doidge, right, talks about that. So I started to realize this. I got to break routine. And how I do that is, like, I'm not always even filming in the same place. Okay, sometimes it's indoors, sometimes it's outdoors, sometimes it's different trees behind me. Okay, I'm always changing what I'm doing, right? And that's how to not get caught up in a pattern. Okay, so every single day, you've got to learn how to change your routine to start to learn how to reprogram your subconscious mind. Everything is... I'm recording a video.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, I had someone asking, can they talk to me, right? When you are reprogramming your subconscious mind, you have to realize this, that habits get reinforced by behavior and attitude. Habits get reinforced by behavior and attitude. That's all you got to know to start reprogramming your subconscious mind, right? To start reprogramming your subconscious mind, habits get reinforced by behavior and attitude. So if you change your attitude and your behavior, you'll start doing things very differently indeed, right? Someone just was walking past me doing a video and was like, can I talk to you? I would have got really annoyed before in the past and say, actually, I'm making a video right now. I just said, no problem, right? That's how to start reprogramming your subconscious mind. Life isn't perfect, but it's incredibly real, right? Okay, what else? When we talk of habits, 7-day vegan challenge, like letting go of dairy was very hard for me. Letting go of meat was very hard for me because these programs were installed in my subconscious mind for a long time. You got to eat this, Ralph. You got to eat that, because where else are you going to get your protein? This was a program from the subconscious mind. I got a new habit right now. What is that, Ralph? Well, I started to eat fake meat about 11 years ago to wean me off real meat, right? Then I started to drink rice milk to wean me off normal milk. And slowly I was beginning to reprogram my subconscious mind step by step until eventually I've been a vegan for over 13 years, enjoying the plant-based lifestyle, inspiring millions. And guess what? Now this is all my subconscious mind knows, right? Now it's working. The dragon, I've tamed it, and it is working in my favor. Slow motion this side. Be present. If you really want to unleash the power of the subconscious mind, be present. You see, our conscious mind is always projecting into the future, going back into the past. Our subconscious mind lives in the here and now. Maybe that's why the great psychologist Fritz Perls said, live in the here and now. And that's what I do. When we talk of the power of meditation, mindfulness meditation is how you unlock the secret of your subconscious mind. You are now tapping in to what is running everything. When you are present, when you are attentive, when you are aware. You see, the more present you are, the more access you will have into the subconscious mind. A lot of people, they wake up and say, I don't know why I'm doing this, I'm just doing it, okay? Because you haven't grounded yourself. You haven't become present. The subconscious mind is 1 million times more powerful than the conscious mind. It works through imagery. So a picture is worth 1,000 words, right? You see a picture up on the wall and you're like, oh, it's speaking to me right now, right? Our subconscious mind only understands pictures. That's all it can understand. That's why they spend a fortune on advertising and everything else. It doesn't understand anything else. So once you understand the power of imagery, you start to unlock the power of your subconscious mind, right? How did I do that along my journey? This is a pure Navajo turquoise, very expensive stuff that I got a good dealer, right? I said, I want that, right? A few years back, or a year back, can't remember when I bought it. I said, I want that. And I looked at the price, I'm like, what? I didn't realize how expensive turquoise is. But I said, I want that because it makes me feel good. I tried it on in the shop. I'm like, oh, I like this. Oh, I looked at the price and said, oh my goodness gracious. Right? So I bought it and I started to wear it. And what I was actually doing was reprogramming my subconscious mind, because I was actually learning the secret of priming my brain, right? Priming your brain, for instance, you could buy a turquoise pendant like this, which really is a symbol of royalty, divinity, abundance, right? And every time you wear it, you're going to feel so amazing. Subconsciously, you won't even be aware of it. But every time you look at yourself in the mirror, is creating a subconscious trigger to make you feel like you are super abundant. It's just like the same when people buy an expensive car. They don't necessarily buy it because sometimes it's a subconscious thing. Like they have a lot of money, so they wanna buy it. They wanna prime their brain to say, I make this much, so let me drive this kind of car. Or sometimes people, once again, they're very into health, and they only buy organic, right? So they are priming their subconscious mind, unlocking its full potential by priming their brain and waking up with a whole bunch of grapes in their mouth to say, I am health. And subconsciously, all their cells start working for them, right? Our subconscious mind works through imagery. But you see, words create imagery in the modern day world. So I can two very powerful words. I can. The more you repeat these affirmations, the more they start creating a powerful imagery. They help you to start reprogramming your subconscious mind, and now you can flipping do anything. Some people say, I can do this. I can open up a business. I can do it. And what happens? You see them doing it because they have started to reconfigure their entire neurocircuitry to do anything. It's powerful stuff. I started to realize that if we look at our subconscious mind, to start reprogramming it, you got to start creating new memories. Because once again, our subconscious mind is picking up everything around it. What can we hear right now? Some birds. Feels good, right? So new memories are like going to new places and seeing new faces, having new experiences. A lot of us, we get locked into a program which doesn't serve us, right? So I started to travel a lot more, started to hop on planes, visit new places, and it felt fantastic, right? What was I doing? Creating new memories. You may have a subconscious program which says, love is not important. Ever been in love? Create a new memory of that, and you will start reprogramming your subconscious mind, okay? Some people have a subconscious mind program that they always have to survive. There is not enough to go around. I used to have that program. Like, this is too expensive. That's too expensive. So what did I do? One day, I woke up and said, in 100 years or so, everyone on planet Earth will be out of here. Don't worry about it. Look, so I'm going to buy that, and I'm going to buy this if I want to. And then I started to reprogram my subconscious mind, right? It all comes from creating a new memory. To start, once again, downloading new software. I've spoken about how our body is hardware. Just touch yourself, right? So I started to realize the subconscious mind was the body. To start changing our subconscious mind, you have to really start moving more into your body. You have to start having a more inner body experience. Because a lot of us, we're like, Ralph, can you talk about outer body experiences? I'll do that. I'll make a video on that. But for now, if you really want to reprogram your subconscious mind, you have to learn how to have an inner body experience. What happens when you do this? You start to move more into your body. You start to move more into your body. This is where the subconscious mind lives. It is impulsive, instinctive. It doesn't think. It just does. Right? A lot of people who do yoga, fantastic for reprogramming your subconscious mind, but learning how to ride the dragon so it can take you to wherever you want to go. You want to go Whole Foods? We'll go there, right? You have to move more into the body. I do this through a lot of breath techniques, right? The 4-4-4. Breathe for 4, hold for 4, release for 4. Alternative nostril breathing too. Tap more into your body, whether it's walking, swimming, dancing, whatever it is. The subconscious mind is a feeling mind, right? It feels everything. So the more you tap into your emotions, right? What I call the reptilian emotions, right? The anger, the frustration, which is okay. It's natural. It's normal. It's beautiful. Then you're learning how to reprogram your subconscious mind. You're like, okay, why am I angry right now? It's okay to be angry. But maybe if I did this, if I change how I reacted to a situation, it might be more helpful. The more you can realize that your subconscious mind is not your enemy, your subconscious mind is your greatest friend when you learn how to use it, it will now take you to wherever you want to go and will help you attract riches beyond your wildest imagination. And then you'll just say, feels so good to be alive, baby. Can I get a hello? And there you have it. We are here just, woo, breathing in that good ass prana. Have a beautiful day, deep divers. Just having fun. Infinite waters. Diving deep. Once again, stay well. Stay healthy.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
Peace, family. Peace. We are now live. What's going on with y'all in the chat? What's up with everybody in the chat? Getting ready to have an amazing show. We live in some amazing times, like I've been telling y'all, and major opportunities for y'all, man, for all of us. What's going on with y'all in the chat? I got Akibalon the Dawn. Akibalon the Dawn back in the book. Welcome back, my brother.
Peace to the gods. Peace to everybody. Peace to the family. Like I've always said, like, I'm feeling very illustrious right now, feeling very majestic. You know what I'm saying? We're in some amazing and interesting times, you know, and I want to give the family an opportunity to, you know, take in some information that will allow them to tangibly actually interact, you know, with the events that are taking place, as opposed to, you know, just be observers of the events. Because as we all know, our ancestors, you know, they were keen on understanding how, you know, nature worked, and also, too, how to involve themselves in certain events like the Lion's Gate, you know, and like certain cosmic events just in general. So that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to get real sciencey with it, but I'm going to make it relatable, too. You know, it's also, you know, I always encourage the family to do their due diligence and do the research as well, because all these terms that I'm going to give out, you know, are you know, you can look them up. So, you know, we're going to talk about it.
Indeed. Low battery. Heavy. All right. Everybody sign it. Make sure you get comfortable. Get a pen and a pad. Tell your friends, family that we're live. We're about to get started. You know, shout out to Dark Muse for the $5 super sticker. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate the support, Dark Muse. We're going to get to a couple of commercials, and we'll be right back, and we'll get started, family, all right? Don't forget to hit that like button. We'll be right back.
Ever seen one of those solar salesmen, or maybe even had a few of them knock on your door to try to sell you on solar? Either way, you can probably imagine just how annoying they are. But
we'll be right back, and we'll get started, family, all right? Don't forget to hit that like button. We'll be right back.
Hey there, had a bad dream? I have dreams too. Some parts are scary and some parts are fun. Always remind yourself, it's only a dream.
Low battery.
I had a dream about being in a forest too. Check it out, my pet Petey was with me. Order your copy of Kayla Petey in the Forest on Amazon today.
Brooklyn, New York, are you ready? August 27th, King Shaman will be there. Etoy Hampton will be there. Elson Network will be there. Lloyd Strayhorn will be there with special guests. Sister Katrina Ife will be there. It's all happening at Nicholas Brooklyn Mini Workshop. Text now, call now to be there. Hey, this is King Simon, International Numero Beta. Remember, get all of my books on Amazon and book at 18/King/Numero Beta. And remember, don't forget to book my session at 347-496-1022. Book now.
All right, family, all right. I'm just chilling. I got me some tea today. Yo, you can see me drinking the water. I got me some tea today. The tea got me in a tranquil vibe right now. I'm just vibing. Listen, so I'll keep it on. A lot of talk about Lionsgate 88. There's been a lot of talk about it for the last couple of years. Dr. D series said this one in particular is extra special because of the photon belt that we are under, and I guess some other things that's happening. But let us know. We always want to know what's going on in the cosmos because of the concept of as above, so below. So when things are happening up there, things are happening within us. So talk to us. Tell the family to brief us, my brother. Report the news to us. What's going on in the cosmos at this time, Lionsgate 88, my brother?
Well, let's refer to, you know, the article that just came out, you know, a reference to, you know, the planet spinning quicker, you know.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. Okay.
So, you know, what's taking place, you know, is the planet itself is, you know, like Dr. B. Sirius was speaking about, is in a situation where we're moving closer to the galactic center, you know. And when we're talking about the galactic center, you know, we're talking about the black hole, Sagittarius A, the center of our Milky Way. So basically what's taking place is that, you know, we're going through what you call a centripetal convergence toward that space, and it's allowing us access to a higher level of information, you know. So with that being said, you know, all of our ancestors, you know, understood that when in dire times it was our opportunity to, you know, take in galactic intel. But we had to specifically align ourselves in a, you know, certain geometry in order to acquiesce to the information that was coming through. You know, so with this specific Lionsgate, we're just that much more closer to the galactic center, which is the reason why they're saying that the planet is spinning faster. The perfect analogy I can give people is, you know, when you pull the plug on the tub and you watch something, you know, go down the drain, and as it gets closer to the center, it spins quicker and quicker. That's in essence of what is actually taking place, you know, by way of the proximity of us in relationship to the galactic center. You know, so what I've, again, this is, like I said, something that we can actually participate in. And, you know, speaking on mathematics more specifically, you know, when you understand that, you know, we are, okay, so let's draw back to the equation of Albert Einstein, right? So we talk about E equals mc squared. Which actually means human mass equals energy times the speed of light. So when you look at the human, the body, it's a body or a mass. So when you have, you know, the fact that we are moving faster on the planet, that means that we as a people, not only the planet, but we as a people are moving or accelerating quicker. So to participate in that, we got to understand that, you know, by way of mass accelerating the human body, you got two forces that are working against you. You got a force that is accelerating you further, and then you got a force that is pushing you backwards. But the balance of these two forces are going to determine how fast the mass moves. And I always talk about the fact that you have to master the spin symmetry of the universe by remaining neutral in moments like these. But more specifically, in order to accelerate and move with the times of the planet, the very basic thing that you have to do is follow your heart. And it sounds very vague, but in essence, this is what the science of Ptah was teaching an ancient chemist. Because if you notice, in the front of him, he's holding the jet pillar with the watchet. And in actuality, when you are doing something you love to do, you are extrapolating charge from gravity by way of the heart, which is accelerating you quicker than the average person, which deems you, you know, a god or goddess in real time because you're following or phase locking with nature. So in essence, when the planet is moving quicker, put your attention on something that you love doing, which is going to accelerate you further than the average person by way of the heart perturbating or beating at a different rate, you see. So, you know, this is, again, another observation that we see happening in real time, but that's something that we can actually participate in. And that energy that you accumulate, you know, by doing something you love doing is your energy content. And that is, in essence, what's going to take you further, you know, in reference to whatever, you know, you desired in that moment as far as, you know, a passion or a purpose or whatever you're trying to fulfill. But the planet is spinning faster, again, because we're moving towards the galactic center, which is giving us more access to information. And let me go ahead and plug in the God Body Challenge, you know, that I always throw for the family. We got that going on August 7th. So August 7th is a day prior to the Lionsgate. So I want to make sure, you know, everybody's body, you know, is fit enough to receive the information that's coming through. So it's going to be August 7th to August 12th. And August 12th is the day of Sirius, the helical rising. So I'm literally ritualizing this fast by way of allowing the body to acquiesce at a state that it can receive the information that's coming through from the photon belt by way of us moving faster toward the galactic center. And when people reference Big Mama, when they're talking about Big Mama or they're talking about the galactic center, the black hole in the center of the Milky Way, and all of our ancestors understood that this black hole is what modulates the information that's coming to us by way of using the sun as a medium via the sunspots to deliver the information to us. So, you know, this is our opportunity to get in line by way of putting ourselves in a discipline to allow the body to raise its voltage to thus receive the information that's coming through. And again, all of our ancestors were demonstrating this. You look on the wall, you see their hands, positioned straight up to the sun. You see them kneeling in a certain position. You see them standing on a base. They understood that these events, like the Lion's Gate, is electricity or electrical discharge that's taking place and information coming through. So you would even see on the glyph that they're always standing on a base. They're always standing on a base. They're never standing on something that's flat. And that base is what you call a insulator. And by way of them standing on an insulator like glass, wood, it allowed them to process as much electricity as possible. So then when they step off the base, they discharge the electricity to either the planet or somebody outside of them that they're trying to heal. So, you know, in essence, again, it's a full-on demonstration by way of understanding not only what our ancestors did, but acquiescing to the times that we're in via the Lion's Gate to receive the information that's coming through. So the God Body Challenge, again, is August 7th, and that's, you know, exactly what we're doing. We're ritualizing a fast by way of demonstrating ourselves as the ancestors that we are living today, you know, to receive the download, what we call, that's coming in directly from the Galactic Center, you know, so.
The Lion's Gate that happens on 8/8. The information that comes through this year with us being in the photon belt. What level? Because I'm trying to figure out how to act this. It seems a little different now. I was talking to people yesterday, and I was saying I'm talking about dead people I know. Their ESP is like heavy right now, and regular people too, like brothers like me and you. I talk to Blue Pill, Rod A's, everybody I talk to on the phone. It's like, oh, Rich, I was just thinking about you. Oh, this, like, oh, that. It's like they motherfuckers could read my mind right now. And I had this dead person call on me. I don't want to say his name, but it was like seriously tapped in to something that was going on in my house. Like my son had something happened with his leg. He hurt his leg. Not hurt his leg bad, but. He hit his leg, and they called, and they like, yo, is everything all right? You know, y'all come across my spirit or whatever. It's a porky in my fucker.
Right.
For breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So when you do the God Body Challenge and I hear everybody talk about health, in terms of these downloads, it seems like you don't really have to be healthy to get these gifts that the universe is giving out right now.
That's truly just a testament to how proud we are as a people. If somebody who eats pork and drinks alcohol, eats McDonald's, is tapped in on a whole nother level, that's just a testament to tell you, like, imagine if you start taking the herbs, if you start fasting, if you start grounding, imagine where you will be at. You see what I'm saying? So you can use that as a gauge to understand how powerful we are as people. But again, melanin itself is photoreceptive, which allows us the opportunity to absorb the whole electromagnetic spectrum, which is information. So by default, the average person is going to receive a download because we are naturally, you know, tethered to the universe by way of, you know, the body itself, the highest form of technology, which is the black body. You know, so again, I would use that as a gauge. That just goes to show, again, how powerful we are as people. And when the average person can tap in like that, just imagine if you were to really discipline yourself, you know, and do what you know you're supposed to be doing by way of, you know, elevating the body physically. You know?
How much time would you say we have in a day now? Like, you know, we've been taught since we were young, we got 24 hours in a day. The earth is spinning fast. What do you think? We got like 16 hours, 18, 20? Like, how much time do you think is in a good time? Like, I got this comment on the screen and say, every day is a blur. Like, that's literally my life. Every day is just like, oh, shit, day's over. I got a show right now. It's just a blur. So what would you say?
I mean, you know, first of all, time is, you know, all relative.
It's all relative.
To be honest, You know, because, again, when we start gauging Western science's time, we start looking at life from a linear perspective, and we no longer look at it from a holistic perspective. So when we look at it from that way, it's equivalent to us now thinking that we're running a race. Mm. And we think we're trying to get somewhere from a destination, that literally begins to pull on the tissues. And when you begin to stress the tissues, that's when age starts to happen. And age is nothing but advanced glycation end. So it's all reference to perception. So if I can begin to look at my life from a holistic perspective, understanding that even down to the omics, knew that days were actually tones, you know, and tones are a cue to the galactic harmonic. When I say the galactic harmonic, I'm talking about the galactic center. But this is how you set the tone of the day, by acquiescing to a higher way of living on each tone, or what we call day to day. So in order to elevate to a higher octave, you got to resonate or do something that is going to allow you to resonate at a higher frequency. So they understood that days were tones. They didn't look at time per se as through numbers. They used numbers as galactic cues in order to gauge what was going on within the cosmos. So this is why I necessarily don't get Western time, because once you begin to do that, you begin to have an anatomical response by way of your circadian rhythm. And it responds by way of you looking, engaging life from a linear perspective, as opposed to how our ancestors would look at it from a holistic perspective, you see. So to me, I don't know how many numbers are, I don't know, it, you know, again, time is relative. I could be doing something that's exciting today, and time seems like it's going quicker. But again, that's by way of us literally following our passion, doing something we love doing, which is allowing us to fold space and time. And in mathematics, that's called torsion tension. Okay, so time is all relative, and I don't necessarily gauge it from a Western science perspective. I just understand that each day when the sun is up, you live better than you did the day before, which is going to raise you at a higher octave. And thus, you know, impede that information, you know, on the planet. Then the planet impedes that onto the sun. The sun then impedes that into the galactic center. And now you're naturally phase locked with nature, you know, so.
Yeah, that's interesting. You said the ancestors look at days as like tones. And as a musician, understanding tones in a musical scale, in a solfeggio scale, if you just say do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, and then do is the first do at a higher octave. So like Monday would be do, Tuesday would be do, re, Tuesday would be re. So that's interesting when you look at it like that. If we observe it from a musical perspective and we say that the days of the week is like the solfeggio scale or an octave, you know how we start with do. Do we still start with Monday, or do we, in ancients, did they change the day of the week? Like, what day will we start with if it's the top of the scale?
So, again, like, that's all based on, you know, how you set the tone of the day. You know, so in reference to you living a certain discipline by way of acquiescing to a higher state of living, by way of eating, exercising, electrifying the body, you're going to set the tone of the day. So, it, you know, and then by doing this, you're going to allow yourself to communicate with nature, because our ancestors understood what you call piezoelectric infrasound. So everything resonates, everything oscillates, which produces a sound. They would then refer that sound back to nature and thus create that symbiotic relationship to it. But the only way that they can hear sound is like eating, you know, clean, exercising, getting sunlight, you know, and living a higher lifestyle, because when you do that, you begin to electrify the body, which, again, raises your voltage. And, you know, as we all know, we're all an amalgamation of cells. And cells are capacitors by way of what you call phospholipids within a membrane. So when you elevate and you begin to eat a certain way and electrify the body, that's going to literally allow you to tap into a higher frequency to hear sound that the average person couldn't hear, you see. And again, it's called piezoelectric infrasound. So this is what our ancestors were familiar with. So the tone will be all in reference to how you set it by way of waking up in the a.m. and literally doing something that's going to raise the frequency to allow you or allow nature to communicate to you. And, you know, you demonstrate your way that you demonstrate your days that way.
I didn't hear you mention the Sirius, the star. How much is this tied into the Lionsgate portal?
It's tied in a lot, honestly. Yeah, so, you know, we can get into that. So basically, mm-hmm. you know, okay, so basically Sirius, what we call Sirius today, is what they refer to. Some people refer to as the black sun. You know, some people say that, you know, our sun that we see in our atmosphere is, you know, what's receiving the light from Sirius. But, you know, Sirius in essence, you know, is actually moving around Sirius A. And what's taking place is the gravitational pull of Sirius B is so strong that it's pulling what you call hydrogen ions of Sirius A. Sirius A serves as a support system for Sirius B, you see. So as this is happening, these hydrogen and what we call hydrogen ions are being delivered through the solar system, stimulating the solar flares that are occurring today and yesterday and the day before, which is all information. So what's supposed to take place, so we're about to go there. What's supposed to take place is, you know, the ancestors understood that there is a very valuable relationship with, you know, you acquiescing to the information that's coming through, but more specifically, that's by way of sun gate. So this is the full-on demonstration of what really the Lionsgate represents. I got this download as well back in 2021. Very, like, random, but very kind of, you know, mind-blowing. August 4th, I was actually looking up some pictures of the Sphinx, just to post. You know, I was going to post about the Lionsgate or whatever. Louis Armstrong. Now, mind you, it was Louis Armstrong, but the image was him playing a trumpet with his wife, but behind him was the Sphinx. I said, okay, that's kind of dope. Like, you know, I guess I never seen that image. But I said, let me go a little further. Let me actually look into Louis Armstrong and see what his birthday is. That's the first thing I did. I recognized that his birthday was on August 4th, the same day that I came across him blowing the trumpet in front of the Sphinx. So I said, okay, that's allowing me and letting me know that I'm moving in the right direction. You know, so with that being said, I then looked in, you know, of course, the Sphinx a little bit and things of that nature. But long story short, what happened was, or what's supposed to actually take place, is we are supposed to wake up in the a.m. as the sun cracked the horizon. Now, mind you, again, Sirius, again, is delivering hydrogen ions, or, you know, information through the sun, and then we're receiving it via the sun. So the idea is to wake up in the rising. Sun gaze, soon as the sun cracks the horizon. This is the reason why, or one of the reasons why the Sphinx is facing the east. And it's no coincidence why the Sphinx is a lion. But at that moment, we are demonstrating ourselves as the Sphinx. And I could have sworn it was an article that came out. I feel like I ran across, somebody sent it to me, and they said that the Sphinx had opened its eyes some or closed its eyes. It was an article that came across, like, really quick, but I didn't do a deep dive into it. But in that sense, what's supposed to take place is sun gaze. And, you know, these hydrogen ions that are coming from Sirius via the sun, that light then stimulates and hits the eye. Now, what happens is when that light comes through the eye, it stimulates the part of the brain. The part of the brain that is stimulating is called the thalamus reticular nuclei. The thalamus reticular nuclei have what you call pacemaker cells. These are the actual nuclei that sit on the thalamus. So when that part of the brain is stimulated, that then triggers an electrical current in the cerebral cortex, which is then responsible for raising your level of consciousness. So what they showed in Kemet, this being a reference to a glyph, was if you see in Kemet a falcon with a sun disc on his head, that's exactly what it's talking about. It's talking about the medulla oblongata being a falcon, and the then the sun disk being the thalamus. So by way of stimulating that thalamus, you're creating a reaction within the cerebral cortex, which is taking you to a 32 vertebrae to a 33 vertebrae, or what they say raising the kundalini or things of that nature. But that is what is responsible for raising your level of consciousness. So that is in full demonstration of what it represents. And also, too, I'm going to read, because this was the final download for me. I'm going to read something real quick. Ezekiel 44. And this is what brought it home for me in reference to what the Lion's Gate really represented by way of Sun Gate. As soon as you wake up and arise, and I'm going to read this really quick. So it says, so this is Ezekiel 44. It says, then the man brought me back to the outer gate of the sanctuary, the one facing east, and it was shut. The Lord said to me, the gate is to remain shut. It must not be opened. No one may enter through it. It is to remain shut because the Lord, the God of Israel, has entered through it. The prince himself is the only one who may sit inside the gateway to eat in the presence of the Lord. He is to enter by way of the portico, which is a portico is a pillar, by way of the portico of the gateway and go out the same way. Then the man brought me by way of the north gate to the front of the temple. I looked and saw the glory of the Lord filling the temple of the Lord and fell face down. So when I received that, that told me, okay, that's exactly what the Lion's Gate represents. It's the fact that those, and this is the other part of the Lion's Gate too, because a lot of people talk about, you know, those who aren't, you know, who are running off the ego a lot, you know, are going to get pretty much devoured during the Lion's Gate. And then those are who are running with an open heart are going to be the ones to receive the information. So, you know, even last year, we've seen a lot of people go down during the Lion's Gate, you know, and we, you know, we don't have to get into that, but there was a lot of people running off the ego who's faking the funk. And that's what's going to happen after the Lion's Gate takes place, is a lot of people who's out here faking the funk is going to be exposed. But in essence, those who are running with an open heart, are the ones who referenced in the Bible, the ones who are going to be able to see the Lord face to face and be able to walk through the gates. So again, by way of running with the open heart is to acquiesce to a full-on demonstration of what the sun Lion's Gate represents, which is Sun Gate. So that is in essence of what the true definition of what that represents. And again, this is why I'm throwing the God Body Challenge around this time as well, because it's going to allow the people to tap into a higher level by way of, you know, removing food from the diet and allowing the body to receive the information. So, that's in essence what the cause of, or how serious is playing a role in this Lion's Gate. We're actually receiving information from Sirius, and that information from Sirius is again stimulating a part of the brain, but it's also stimulating glands, or glands that are pretty much laying dormant. So these are glands that respond to higher frequencies. People are saying they're hearing like ringing in the ears, or their hands are itching and or tingling and things of that nature, or you know, they feel lightheaded, things of that nature. That's all again coming by way of Sirius. Because, again, Sirius is the hydrogen ions that are being delivered through the sun to us, and we receive them through the eyes during the Lion's Gate, which, again, is going to stimulate those parts of the glands that are laying dormant and bring them to the surface. I think your mic is muted.
Yeah, it is muted. I'm sorry. Yeah, I said, yeah, you really broke it down just now. I'm going to have to watch that part over and take some notes. I hope y'all was really listening to that. That was some real science right there. And what's the deal with, we used to hear Bobby Hemmett talk about this a lot, and the brother Red Pill, I heard him recently mention it, the Jason months, July, August, September, October, November, and how important that is cosmically, you know, because August falls right in there along with the Lion's Gate. What's the deal with the Jason months?
I mean, so basically, it's all in reference to, you know, where the planet, the proximity of the planet is compared to higher stars. So, you know, when you have a flux of information coming through that is cosmic, you know, the whole goal is to basically eliminate or create a fear tactic within the individuals that have the capacity to receive the information. So, you know, they build rituals around these certain events because they understand that there's a large amount of compression that's being applied through space. And when you have compression, you then have acceleration, which is what we call gravity today. When compression becomes acceleration, that's what gravity is today. So the minute I throw something up and it comes down, it's a testament that, you know, and we'll get into that too, but compression becomes acceleration. But when you have certain planets, our planet specifically, in a certain proximity of higher star systems, that level of compression or acceleration increases, which then forces and gives melanated people specifically the capacity to receive a higher level of intel. And that, again, comes through intuition, that comes through insight, that comes through, you know, what we call it, downloads. But in order to combat that, you got to create a fear tactic that is going to have an anatomical effect on our body specifically. And when that happens and they start to play the psyops through television and seeing us get killed on TV over and over, certain music is then now being produced around these months, that's not going to allow us to refract the light that's coming through because we're at a, you know, of course, like a lower vibration. So, you know, the Jason months are powerful, and only, again, because of the fact that our planet itself in a higher, it's closer to higher star systems that is allowing us to receive or the opportunity to receive information that's coming through. So it's really just a psyop. That's what the Jason months represent, psychological operation basically to social engineer, you know, the melanated people so that way we can become distracted and focus on fear as opposed to understanding that there's cosmic events that are taking place.
Indeed. Definitely. Once again, family, we just passed the first half an hour mark. I want to thank everybody that's in the chat room. Shout out to King Simon in the chat room. He's talking about what, sacrifice? Okay, yeah. Shout out to King Simon and everybody in the chat. Make sure you hit the like button. I'm with Alkebalon, the Don, Alkebalon 44. We're going in on the Lionsgate portal and a necessary conversation with everything that's going on right now. Somebody just mentioned something that I definitely want to ask you about, and I'm glad they brought it up and reminded me in the chat. This star, I think it's a part of Orion, so we hear Brother Panic talk about it, the Betelgeuse. We hear about Betelgeuse and everything that's going on right now with us rising consciously right now.
Okay, so when we look at, like, Betelgeuse, when we look at stars in general, we got to understand that, you know, we call stars portals. And the perfect movie that I can reference is the movie called Stargate. If you notice in the movie Stargate, you know, they're dealing with a portal, but you notice the portal has a liquid, you know, atmosphere. It has a liquid, like a liquid type of, and it's in a lot of movies. You know, they always showcase, like, portals that have, like, a liquid exterior. That's a star. That's a star. That is a plasma that is intelligent because it's being compressed at a certain level. And the more compression you have, the more density of information you have in one space, which makes that plasma intelligent and conscious. So even down to, and I'm going to go back to what I was speaking about, but I'm going to use this analogy. You know, it's like in video games or like in, you know, scary movies. It'd be like two of the good guys running away from the villain or the bad guy. You notice the two good guys always get the opportunity to jump through the portal, but then immediately when the bad guy comes, it closes or it doesn't allow him to come through. That's in essence what's happening to the individuals during the Lionsgate who are running off the ego and faking the funk. They're not going to be able to get through the portal or receive the information because of heart coherence. And that's by way of understanding that plasma is conscious. So when you understand that plasma is conscious, plasma is mindful. So it's going to allow those who are running on truth to receive the information, but those who are not to completely miss it. And that's equivalent to, again, the villain always, the villain never gets to go through a portal when the good guys go through it. And again, the plasma is mindful. It's mindful. It knows exactly what's taking place because it's conscious. So when we look at Betelgeuse, Betelgeuse is a star. Betelgeuse is just like the portal in Stargate. It's a ball of plasma that's conscious. You know, so with that being said, with it is it existing in Orion star constellation, we also have to understand that Orion star constellation is a Stargate as well. And a lot of the wars that were taking place, you know, billions of years ago, you know, when we're talking about more like on a galactic level, it was really a battle for different environments in reference to Stargates, because that's how you get to different dimensions with that space. Even today, with the physical wars that we see taking place, whether it's Russia or Ukraine, their idea is to find a place of real estate where portals exist. And they understand that the science of portals has been around since, you know, we were on this planet. But in essence, with Betelgeuse specifically, they're speaking about that star dying out. And so when a star dies out, there's a supernova that takes place. They call it a supernova. And when a supernova takes place, supernova basically is when waves implode on themselves and apply compression. And again, when you have compression, you produce acceleration, which is what we call gravity. So that's what then begins to speed up time, as they say. But with that being said, this information is also coming through as well. So understanding that Betelgeuse is exploding is just a signal to let us know that not only is the Orion star constellation, Stargate, opened up, but also, too, this is allowing a flux of information to come through. So then our goal is to make sure that we acquiesce to it by, again, disciplining ourselves physically to receive the information that's coming through.
Indeed. What I noticed, you know, the conversation of the heart comes up a lot, especially in this day and time, and the importance of tapping into that heart energy. And I see so many people. It's fairly easy for somebody to change. I wouldn't say fairly easy, but I've seen so many brothers change their diet, become vegan. I've seen so many intellectual brothers and sisters, and just not brothers and sisters as well. I've seen so many intellectual brothers and sisters able to read information, regurgitate information, understand certain levels of information intellectually. But I haven't met a lot of people that are able to tap into that the power of the heart. And you, it's not something they say, and you feel it. You can feel the aura on that person. Why do you think the fears of the heart seems to be the hardest thing? Intellectualism, can, everybody can do that. Veganism, a nigga could change his diet or whatever, whatever. But when it comes to this heart talk, that seems to be one of the hardest of fears in humanity, but it's also one of the most important things because, like you said, that portal closes and a lot of people are cut off from certain access because they don't know how to access that heart space. Why is it so hard in this field for humanity?
Well, the goal is to, The goal is to embed the array, you know, and what I mean specifically is, you know, the heart space, you know, how do you cultivate the heart? You cultivate the heart by studying, being studious, you know, because the heart is what generates the magnetic field. How do you embed the array? You got to strengthen the magnetic field. How do you strengthen the magnetic field? You got to take in information, not only information, but you got to take in higher levels of information. So, you know, going even deeper on another level, we're speaking about physics now. So when you look at Tahuti and Kemet, Tahuti was the scriber. If you look at Freemasonry, you notice that the checkered floors represent the black and the white. But what they're speaking about is the fact that they understand through physics is that we oscillate in and out of existence faster than the speed of light. So we are constantly flickering back and forth. The objective then is to take on higher levels of information so that way once we flicker out of existence, we dump that information back into the universe, upgrade it, and thus by nature, the universe is going to upgrade our reality because we're teaching the universe outside of its own reference point what it is by giving it higher levels of information. So with that being said, what was the original question, Rich? I just went on.
Well, let me put this back on. It just seems hard for people to operate from that hard space. I get the intellectualism. I've seen it over and over again. I've sat and talked with countless speakers, but it's rare. And you see people go vegan, and that has nothing to do with the heart. But it just seems hard for the humanity in general, conscious or not, for people to tap into this power of the heart and to get this heart information. It just seems to be real hard.
Right. So basically, going off of what I just said, the idea is to resonate at a higher level by way of upgrading the universe by taking on higher levels of information here in the physical reality. Because as we are scribing our narrative in our physical reality, understanding and aware that we're flickering in and out of existence, when we're doing that, we're upgrading the universe. Thus, the universe is going to upgrade our physical reality. But that's also going to allow us to acquiesce to a higher level of information via the magnetic field. Again, how do you cultivate the heart? You remain studious. So when you remain studious, that strengthens the magnetic field, because the magnetic field is what moves beyond the physical body and remains conscious when we transition. So it is those who are doing the work. And those who are doing the work are those who are diligent, who also develop a level of compassion, because your heart, again, generating the magnetic field is like a compass, but you can't say compassion without saying compass. So when you allow yourself to be studious and work from your heart space by doing the work and remaining into the information per se, what they call Sankofa, going back and understanding what we were doing, our ancestors, what we were into, things of that nature, that is going to develop a level of compassion for people, because now you're self-imploding by investing information into yourself. They always said knowledge is self. Knowledge is self is an implosion process. So when you begin to implode, what's taking place is you're doing the work and study, which is going to increase and grow the magnetic field. And by default, that is going to guide you in the right trajectory, because your magnetic field is the compass that leads you to where you are trying to go in life. And by default, again, that naturally then is going to develop a level of compassion for people outside of you, because when you see that homeless guy on the corner and you have a sense of empathy, that is you imploding your magnetic field, thus you're really feeling magnetism, you see? So it's those who have a heart space, and then they're knowing they're here, again, to do the work of the ancestors. So we were put here specifically to do that. And the ancestors carved out a space for all of us as an individual to live out a specific archetype. So when we call upon these ancestors, whether it's, Asar, Ma'at, Horus, these are forces of nature that we can naturally embody, because, again, the black body is photoreceptive. So we receive information that we can't physically see. So by doing the work and doing and remaining studious, knowledge is 360 degrees. So even if you're studying something that you may not understand, you're always going to come full circle. The goal is to continue to remain consistent, again, by cultivating the heart, thus growing the magnetic field, which stores all the information that's taken in, which then develops a level of compassion for people, which guides you to your passion naturally, you see, because your magnetic field is your compass. So it's those who are out here and are aware that the ancestors are watching, and they're doing things with a pure intent.
What about, King Simon always says eight represents wealth. How is money tied into the Lionsgate portal? Is wealth in any way, do you see wealth tied into what happens around this time at 8-8 represents wealth?
Yeah, I mean, wealth doesn't necessarily have to come by way of physical money.
Yeah.
Wealth can come by way of a wealth of knowledge, a wealth of information. You see, because, again, we immediately gauge our reality on something physical when currency is just energy in and of itself. You know, so in essence, it's all about, again, allowing yourself, giving yourself the opportunity to love yourself. Because when you do that, that allows you to open your heart space to receive the information that's coming through, which is going to give you wealth by default because it's going to allow you to naturally want to follow your passion. And, of course, when you follow your passion, people will pay you to do, see you do something that you're good at doing. So the money comes naturally. It's just all in reference to, again, following the heart. Because, again, when you follow your heart, you're following your passion, which develops compassion for people, and then people are going to reciprocate that energy to you by giving you money. You see?
Indeed. Do you think we should all, because this comes in Leo season, should we all tap into our inner Leo? They say we got all the whole zodiac within us. Should we do shit Leo does to tap into that energy at this time?
The simple thing of what a Leo would do in this situation is do everything. Well, first of all, of course, partake in a God body challenge, you know, because that's demonstrating leadership. But also, yeah. Allowing ourselves the opportunity to tap into our Leo nature, you know, because like you said, we are a conglomerate of every zodiac sign, you know. So yeah, demonstrate yourself through the Leo aspect. Even the age of Leo, that's when they built the pyramids, the Sphinx, and ancient Kemet, was the age of Leo, because the age of Leo deals with creation. It deals with physically creating things. So they built monuments that outlive our kids, you know, because they also understood that the age of Leo represented that we were here to literally build something that was going to stand the test of time. So that way, when we come back full circle, we can see monuments that are still standing to this day to qualify that we were not only the original people on this planet, but we had a high level of information. You know, we were the people that we've always claimed to be. So it's always just about leaving things that are outlived the test of time, and the age of Leo represents that. So those who are good with their hands, who are into electrical engineering, me personally, I'm an engineer, mechatronic engineering, so that's dealing with artificial intelligence, building robots, things of that nature. So it's about getting into your creative space. So that's what I would do. If you've been lacking on getting into the studio, Lionsgate, get into the studio, not even specifically on the Lionsgate, around, you know, the sign that we're in of Leo. You know, if you've been lacking shit in the household, you know what I'm saying, and you feel like that you kind of been, you know, not doing what you're supposed to be doing, per se, and want to take on a leadership role, demonstrate that, you know what I'm saying? Finances, if it's something that you've been struggling regarding budgeting money, just constantly spend money. Do yourself a service. Become a leader by way of budgeting your money, so that way money can become attracted to you. You see, so it's all about just what you in your reality qualify as something that you need to get better in, and you know, allowing yourself the opportunity to do better than the day you did prior. That's a form of leadership. So that's what that represents. You want to just be creative. You want to become a leader in your own personal reality. And, again, those who are even into physically building things, you want to physically build something during the age of Leo, more specifically something that's going to remind the next generation who we were as a people.
Indeed. We're about to get into some Q&A, family, so make sure you leave some good questions in the comment section. Once again, on live with our people on the Don 44. We are dealing with the Lionsgate portal, that 8-8 energy. So, yeah, family, I hope you've been taking notes today. Yeah, we just finished talking about the Leos, leadership, creativity. Yeah, that's some good advice, y'all. Tap into that creativity. Tap into that passion. You know, some real gems dropped tonight. But give me some good questions for the brothers. You got a Cash App for the people. You want to need the Cash App?
I do. $ Alkibulan 44. $ Alkibulan with a capital A, and then 44.
Somebody in the chat wants to know about stargazing. You mentioned the sun, sun gazing. How important is stargazing? Do you practice it, my brother?
Yeah, I do. Because I understand that even down with our ancestors, our body itself goes through a process called phase conjugate mirroring, or a phase conjugate mirror. So I encourage the family to look that up, phase conjugate mirror. But basically, the neurons act like what we call mirror neurons, but the real definition is space-conjugate mirror. So they're imitating the stars. So we look at the neurons in the brain, but in actuality, what's actually controlling the neurons, which we call astrocytes. And astrocytes got their name because they look identical to a star. You see? So it's all about allowing the eye, which serve as the outer representation of the nervous system, to gauge your reality, but then define it based on your own interpretation, because in actuality, there's nothing outside of it that exists. It's just all waves. But how do you decode those waves? You decode them by literally allowing yourself the ability to perceive something based on how your ancestors looked at it. So as opposed to looking at the stars and just seeing them as stars, understand that our ancestors knew that stars were our ascended masters who knew how to successfully make transition and return back as a star. So when you then look at, go outside and look at the stars from that vantage point, you're going to have an anatomical response. So, you know, gauge, whether it's trees, whether it's stars, whether it's the ocean, you want to be able to allow yourself to first understand that, again, it's all a representation. Perception, because the change of perception is going to set up the resonance in the body to allow you that two-way communication between you and that star, you see. But you got to begin to learn how to gauge your reality outside of how Western science and Western academia has told us to look at reality. If we continue to live our lives and look at stars, how we've been taught stars were, we would never really develop that symbiotic relationship to them, and thus we would just always see stars as something outside of us. As opposed that, again, the neurons in the brain perform what you call phase-conjugate mirroring. They're mirroring exactly what's taking place within the cosmos by way of focusing light inward and then the light being refracted back. So that's information. That's a two-way communication. So by doing that, understanding that, okay, wow, you know, I'm looking at the stars now and I see these now as my ascended masters, as opposed to how I've been conditioned, that's going to create a different response within the body and set you up at a resonance to have that symbiotic relationship to the stars.
Powerful. I got to put that part on I got to make a short video of that part right there, y'all. There was one question I wanted to ask. Okay, where is it at? What's Alkibalon's daily version of electrifying the body?
Exercise. Because exercising, you know, stimulates the bones. The bones are piezoelectric, meaning when you apply pressure or compression on the charge in the body, you know, and it stimulates more mitochondria in the heart and in the brain. The mitochondria are the powerhouse or the batteries that allow the cells to even function, you know. So exercise, going outside and putting you know, water in a mason jar and allowing that infrared light to structure the water, thus the water literally becomes a battery. 2 hours later, you go outside, take the water, drink it, you electrify the body. You know, going outside, plugging your bare feet in the grass, understanding that the ancestors knew that the planet was a capacitor and the body being a semiconductor, we store charge. So with those negative ions coming from the center of the earth through the surface into the deep, that's electrifying the body, you see. So I do these things on a daily basis, you know, and doing this is also going to develop a larger neural network in the brain. When you have a larger neural network in the brain, that gives you the capacity to retain information when you're studying. Because like I said, the goal is to maintain the information that you got here in the physical so that way you can take it with you and know exactly what you need to do in the next life, because you retain the information and strengthen the magnetic field to a point now that you're still conscious even when you leave the physical body, you see. So everything is based on electricity, you know, on the walls, the chemists. Again, you will see them pointing their palms up to the sun, their palms up to themselves, transferring energy, electrical discharge. You know, you've seen plasma physics on the wall. Everything is in reference to electricity because, like I said at the beginning of the show, we are cued by way of the galactic harmonics, which is the black hole in the center of the Milky Way, what they call Big Mama, you see. So by, you know, understanding that, yeah, that's my to answer the question. That's what I do. Work out, drink structured water, and, you know, go outside and put my bare feet in the grass.
Indeed. All right. Bill Russell may transition at age 88. Is there any connection to the Lionsgate 88?
Of course. Yeah, of course. You know, it's interesting because, and as I look at it from a personal perspective, you know, he had the record for the most championships, which were 11 championships. And now when I look at the number 11, I see a gate, you know. And, of course, the number 88 is symbolic as well. But when you have monumental figures like that make transition, there's going to be an effect within the cosmos because they understood the black body is, of course, electromagnetic, but we emit light. We emit electricity. We emit electromagnetism. And this light then is stimulating a space called the ionosphere, what they call NUT, N-U-T in Kemet. And by duplicating ourselves in that space, once we make transition, and we've done so much here in this physical reality, we return back to that space. And by returning back to that space or the ionosphere, that's going to cause a reaction within the cosmos in and of itself based on, you know, our electromagnetic signature here. Yeah, so basically him being a huge figure is going to cause solar flares to take off. It's going to cause, you know, the discovery of new black holes and things of that nature. Because from which we came, we shall return. So absolutely, he's directly connected to the Lionsgate, and it's no coincidence why he made transition right before the Lionsgate. So, yeah.
How long we got with this? It is background. Sorry, family. It's background noise. That's what I'm muting. What importance is the photon belt with the Lionsgate portal?
Yeah, like I said earlier, you know, we're getting closer to the galactic center. This is the black hole, the center of the Milky Way. The reason why the planet is spinning. So with us getting closer to this photon belt, this is allowing us a higher level of information is coming through the Lionsgate more than what it's came through in the prior years. So, you know, when you see articles come out in reference to the planet moving faster and the discovery of new black holes, please believe that you're a participant in these events that are taking place. You see, this is the new version of clocking cosmic time. You know, our ancestors was looking to engage the planets and understand what time it is based on the proximity of certain planets.
Oh, Thank you. Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
12-12-CST, 12-12-CST. It's important how these podcasts, you know, plays out because the jazz needed to happen in its totality in order to come in at 12-12, you see? So we're not in control of any of it. So, guys, thank you for tuning in to another podcast of Enhancing Awareness Radio, guys. I am your host, Haruta 7 Oracle, and as you guys know, Eternal is joined with us, guys. And we are going to talk about, well, we have illustrated, you know, for you guys, the subconscious mind, okay? So the subconscious mind is very important. Really kind of being aware of the subconscious mind is how we started. And also how to retrain and take accountability as far as what our subconscious mind does. And then we move into the portals of the understanding to understand, right? We've done Lion Gate Portal podcast in the past, so go back and check out the archives for the shows that we have done in the past about the Lionsgate Portal, guys. But to the understanding about what the 8-8 portal is. It's a portal of manifestation. Brother dropped a lot of great gems. I had to cut the clip about an hour. There was about 30 more minutes left of that, but we wouldn't have had any time to talk. So I had to cut the clip, guys, but the clip is in the show notes for you guys if you want to go back and listen. So 888 Lionsgate Portal. Hope you guys got something out of that. You know, Eternal is going to give us his breakdown of what he feels the Lionsgate AA portal, you guys, but you got whatever your own understanding and interpretation of the Lionsgate portal, guys, just know that this is a great time of manifestation. All right? All right, Eternal, you're unmuted. Royalty.
Peace, brother. How you feeling today?
I'm feeling relaxed today, in a relaxed mood, just chilling on the couch, feeling relaxed.
That's what it's supposed to be done right now.
Yes.
Get back to time to reflect, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of us are just waking up to this. So, just like what you was explaining, it's the moment of releasing. And so... your environment. My brother right now, he's actually doing a Ma'at thing. He was just start picking up stuff on the ground. And that explains, like, our environment. Even when we're in our relaxed zone, can we still find manifestation in ourselves? And peace, brother. The Lion's Gate is basically that. Like, I had to take a witness of being a vendor. And when you're a vendor, you get to see the in and outs of life. And how people, you know, they go in and out of a gate. So this word agate is also a stone. So if you think about it, it helps with your memory. That was like a side one, throw that in there. But information is always granted versus the education being entertainment. So when we think about how we've been ruled, some of us ruled by the what they say, the mighty fist or the iron hand. So a lot of us did not grasp this part of this life that, like I said, for vending, is basically the state of going out of yourself. And it's the idea of you've been in the house so long. Now, you can be in a room, but now you need to know all the rooms in your house. If not, you've never been in your whole house. And so this is just like what we call a mansion. Mansion represents immaculate, you know, glorious amounts of whatever's going on in space in the room that you got, the valedictoria house and, you know, all of these things you call mansions. But the mansion is a man with Zion. Zion represents, just like Africa, when we think Zion, or even the word noise backwards. But when you get to a white level, just like in martial arts, white level meaning is like you just began. You didn't even start yet. So getting to the black would be like, okay, I'm at my ultimate. However, brown is the highest. When you think about it, the colors go from purple to red, then yellow, then orange, and then green, and then blue. So it's going actually opposite of how you think when you look at the chakras. And if you look at that, that's why we build differently. Some of us, when we go out of this house, you got all these houses that you need to come out of, all those chakras that we didn't talk about, which means that there's fire. Some people walk with a fire body, a earth body, an air body, and a rain body. When you walk out of this house, you say, oh, I ain't into the elements, or I'm not into the houses. And then you go to the pump, and it's pump two, and you're like, I ain't into numbers. Well, what's going to end up happening is that number two is talking to you. And so this two could be Taurus. I'm not saying that it's going to always be Taurus. It could be two being Aquarius because it's two. It could be written as a 1-1 or the actual number two. And this is where the spells and a lot of other things, as far as what we call magic, is these gates that open up right in front of us like a cell. One cell divides and becomes two. But yet it was really two in it already, and it became four. The gate represents you coming out of your fear. And so most people who go into vending might be the first thing they have is fear on their conscience. So they say, I ain't going to make no money, or it's going to rain, we're going to be late, you know, or, man, if I mess up getting from here to there, you know what I mean? There's other things that cause us that kind of commotion. And then, of course, there's your home, where you came from, your foundation, we like to call it. That's why we call it the gate. From where you come from. So when you're in West Gate, South Gate, East Gate, West Gate is basically like saying the opposite side of where your heart is at. And then East would be where your heart is at. So now if I said West could be just like saying your back, and East could be where your front is. Now your North is your head, and your South is your feet. And when we look at that, your actual moving, walking compass. Now, they gave you north, east, west, and south, but they didn't give you your own map. So you went with a GPS, jumped in the car. You was like, man, I'm going to go, and this, that, and the other. And then your bowels start messing up. And you're like, oh, shoot, I got to use the bathroom. Something down south ain't working. Or it is working. You just didn't fix it. So now you got to unplug that, or you're going to have an unplug happening right there on the street. So these are, again, the doubts that we didn't know, the disturbances in the stomach. Even if you was mad at somebody, you can create a hernia in your stomach. And the hernia is going to actually stop you from doing a lot of progress. And you want to progress, so your progression is really your key, finding what key you work with. And that's through your gates. Peace, brother. How you feeling? And when you think about the gate's going to help you on your continuum. Let's say if you are vending and you want to take the life lesson, you're going to take whatever you got from your foundation with you. But if you want a life lesson, you're going to find out there's nothing from your house in that gate. And now you got to work with what's in there. And that, again, starts to bring your doubt in. And so now you got to work on how to not doubt yourself. The lion lays down, right? And the lion also speaks. Could be like the rawr, but then not as raw as it could be. So now you lying. So either you sit up or you face it, you know what I mean? Or surface it in a different way. And we surface a lot of things. So when a surfer is on a wave, he has to come up with his own analogy to fix things. Like if you got lemon, create lemonade. Now, of course, if you don't have the water, how you going to make lemonade? You got to go to somebody who got the water. If you got somebody who got sugar, you'd be like, look, I'm going to hook all y'all up. I got the lemon. But I need all y'all components too. And then we can work it out. And what we don't realize is this is the word we call ma'at, and it's called math. Math and ma'at, they're the same. We did it in writing down the word problem and end up being not a word problem but numbers in that word problem. So now you got to match the numbers of what's being said.
I'm going to try to get this. Mm.
Okay. but if it's short, then I'm going to come back.
Okay.
Go get it.
Oh, it's $31.95.
I think I'm like right up in there somewhere on this card.
Okay.
It might be fucking short.
Okay. Are you good? So when you're learning how to connect to the all the channels of my eye is going to say to yourself, you're thinking it's a bad thing, but it's actually the good and the bad, and this thin line we call it, peace, mama, the thin line we call it the in-between. Now, when you're in between, it's $31.95. When you're in the in-between, you'll find out the thin line is actually where people make a lot of money, people don't make a lot of money, people actually go through a lot of trouble.
Okay, well, this is short.
Okay. When people end up finding out is that they got to now create a confidence in between that. And this is, again, the gate. This is just like the food that you didn't have. You said, man, I got to find something to eat. I don't have nothing like they got in my, you know, where I'm at. However, your conscience is always adapting. So you got to adapt with your conscience. That's where the subconscious be having, you know, little issues every now and then. But you know, we used to eating the cake that we had. We used to, you know, I got to have it the way I want it. Well, for me, I had been in Georgia and New York. Georgia, big, wide, open space. You can put your tent over here or over there. You can have your car even sometimes. Just sometimes, because it's more like Maryland than Georgia, though. You can have your car sitting next to your stuff. So there's a lot of the, you can see a difference. But you're in New York, you got to park that car over there, and you might have to pay a fee. And you got to hurry up and get that car out, because all these other cars are getting in this area, and it's a park. So you got to be mindful. They might check your, you know, identification card. They want to make sure you legit. There's a whole bunch of other things you didn't think about. It's like, whoa, it's just too much. However, some people are good with it. They can deal with it. So that's what I meant by being adaptive. And being able to fine-tune yourself, because what's more the objective? Like the brother said, he wants you to make money. How do you create the money motivation? Because you can make money. However, you ain't motivated, you still ain't going to make no money. Okay, how much money you want to make. So needless to say, a sister came at the same time we did on our second trip. We went from North Carolina, did the show and everything. And that's when I feel weird when I say did the show, because it's like all we did was show up. And we was like waiting for them to buy. And for me, I don't. I put my stuff out, take my crystals and all that, and I clean all my stuff and then put it out after I done cleaned it. You know, so it's all tedious. So I'll probably like 2-3 hours just cleaning it. And then here you come, and he's like, can I get a discount? God, take it. So, all right, or no. So it's up to me, you know, and that's my house. It's my gate.
This whole money
so
system.
Look at,
you know, you turn the whole money system all together, that shit is fading. Like, that's going
to,
you know, all
well, this
change
is what I'm getting
and
to.
All that shit. Yeah.
That's why it's built with my eye. See, my eye. You got to go back to my eye. Even if that money is what they're thinking they're getting a risk of or a discount from, they're not realizing they're doing what we call an exchange in currency, and that's us. We exchange our current flow to each other. So you have it in your pocket, that's really your chi money. You put chi on that money. So your chi is your key to opening finances, whatever you want to do with it. So that's like the bartering that you have. So you would say, well, I see you did something over here. That's beautiful work. Probably took you like 2 hours to do. I'm going to give you an exchange for that. And that's what why that was the exchange. Now, we call it money, and that's why we think of mood when we think about money. Like today, some of us are probably not even in a good mood right now because we're probably going out pocket and there ain't nothing in there. So, my mood changed. As soon as you gave me this $5, I felt my mood change, you know, and you realize that money is a currency, your emotion. Yet, just like you said, it's not really attached to you. Yet, it can have some kind of attachment feeling for you. So now, I got to not let that rule me. I got to rule it. That's what he was speaking on, like grounding and realizing how to ground and earthening is how you're going to say, this currency is not going to be, as soon as I get it, because, you know, most of us, before we get the check on Friday, we already got it spent in our mind before we get it. And then by the time you get it, you be like, dang, something got to get cut, because even in my mind, I spent it all, but now I got to cut something off because I didn't spend even in my mind the right way. So just like how, like, we could cut ourselves short in our imagination. So my second trip was in D.C. Now, mind you, I said Georgia was everything wide open. Now, New York, everything's tight and closed and knit. So I got to get this mentality in my mind no matter where I go, just like I'm in my own foundation. When I come out of the foundation, I need might to take a little night bag or something compact, not so big, something compact that I could travel with. So that's what time travelers do. They take the time traveling gear with them. So I might need toothpaste, you know, the major things, toothpaste, toothbrush, some soap, because, you know, people might not shea butter. You know, that might be the basic. Then I throw some other stuff, my clothes, you know, things like that. You're going to come up with your own little list. I might need if you're out past 3 days, I might need a toenail clipper. Some of these things that we don't be thinking about, you know what I mean? Or if I get a hole in my pants, I might need some sewing kit. So it's going to show you, do whatever you're doing, and you get that rip, and you're like, oh, shoot, you know, dang, I ain't got nobody to fix my pants. And, you know, you're going to have that hang up. Or have some extra clothes. These are going to be the things that take you to the next step of your gate. How do you open your gate and close your gate? Do you lock it? Do you not lock it? And then if it's open, what do we allow in and out the gate? So this is where we get the sage, we get the Palo Santo. You can make this all inviting. If you was passing these dollar bills to this person or the person, you know, you're getting it from that being, you can have a sage right there. And you can say, oh, well, you think you passed me money, but let me show you something. We can really do something spiritual. You pass it right over the sage. You're like, oh, shoot. Yet he didn't know that money was spiritual. They start the dollar sign with an S to make it as a sign. Yet it's called a dollar. That's half of a circle. That's one line in a circle. But this one line in the circle is one part of the what we call a sign, S-I-N-E, and a wave, W-A-V-E, end up being your wave, W-A-I-V-E. That's why we'd be like, oh, I want some allowance all the time from my mother because I like to clean up, this, that, and the other. Now, if you do a sad job, how you going to get any money? So this is where the currency became an allowance in our mind. So just like your job, they fire people. Or they, you know, put you on parole, some kind of, you know, you're about to get fired, but I ain't firing you yet. I want you to pay attention to what you're doing. So it's like that discipline, the hand getting smacked. This is the same thing when it comes down to ourself, to our own self, when we call it doubt. All right? Now, what I mean by this is I went to the second show. I'm optimistic about the first one. I didn't do so well, yet I know this second one I'm going to do even better because, you know, that first one was pretty good, and I had a good feed out with the children, not about the money, with the children. So I'm on a whole other level. I didn't even think about how everybody, oh, I'm going to get this bag. Or I talk to a lot of women, you know, or my brothers. I love my brothers, and, you know, all that's going to be their own mind of determination. So when I got to the second show, a sister, she, you know, we finally got all our stuff out. The sister, she got out. She's like last to come, right? Found a spot. We had to move our stuff over for her. She didn't even have a tent, so we didn't even have to move our stuff. We weren't mad about it. We just still did what we had to do because they said, do this, do that, do this. When we're in their gate, we got to go on and follow the rules. So we moved our stuff, you know, did that, be diligent, that kind of thing. And so she came up. She said, I don't have a tent. Then she's like, man, why they got me over here? And then she realized that's the shade. You wanted shade, right? So she got the tree. So I was like, okay, she should be happy. Nope. She was like, I don't like where I'm at. They supposed to spoil me. I'm spoiled. I said, uh-oh, this is going to be a little issue here. And I said, well, are you present? What? I'm more than present. I'm a gift. I said, wait. See, you're going already way over there. We didn't even start you here. And so she was like, my daughter's a present. And this, that, and I said, okay, you're going all deep with me. She's like, I want you to be right here with me right now. I'm talking to you. And it can get that hard for people that has a different lifestyle and a different life in that lifestyle. Life and lifestyle are two different things. And that's why we got to be honest with ourselves. This is where my eye comes from. Your life and your lifestyle will start to contradict each other. Now, why does that happen? Because you want to have something in the public and you put it in the private. That don't work. Now you got the private being put in the public. You're saying that don't work. Now you upset because you don't know. It's a thin line. It's a thin line, brother, to the good and the bad. Yet they ain't good or bad. It's just a left and a right. So that's why the gates are important. When you open it, it's now fire, earth, air, and rain. They call it fear. Now, the thing is, you got to be more in tune with what we call spirit. Don't doubt yourself, right? So what the sister did was she put her stuff out. She was like, man, I don't know. How they do last time? And I said, uh-oh, she's talking about the past. I don't know if I want to stay in the past with her to say it's going to be better this time. You know, I can't give you that determination. And then she was like, well, I've done this before, and I did this for, 6 years. And I said, oh, we're going into that. Well, I've been doing copper for 13 years. I just say all you got to do is be confident. You can go out here on the side of the block, and if you're confident in yourself, you're going to get something happening. Don't worry about all this other stuff. And she's like, well, I need to, she started coming up with the money and how much she paid for it. And I said, okay, so now you're in expectation. I said, well, when they say about expectation, you can have a piss poor plan if you ain't planned it. And then she said, well, I planned this since last year. Well, needless to say, I'm going to wrap this up right now. She didn't make a lot of money that day. And it was mainly because of the attitude. Our attitude can also speak, too. It's not always about currency. It could be your attitude towards how you're going to get this currency. It could be your physical feeling for it that can be attached to how you're going to, create this delivery that you're asking for. You're tapped into the ancestors all the time. So when you turn it off, it's more like you just turn off the ancestors too. So now you don't even want no water. When you got a cup. You want a gallon of water. I apologize. What was the question?
I think you answered it. As you were talking, you answered it.
Okay.
You good.
Well, yeah, because we're dealing with houses. And these houses, just like the lion's gate, you're going to see it like Paramount Pictures. You're going to see it like Columbia House. They created these names, but they're all on the lion. Now, if you look at what I sent you the name Akker, A-K-E-R. They say Akker, like accurate, Akura. This word is always in front of us. We just use it differently in our different languages. That's why I said your life and your lifestyle can show if you're really into it, you're going to want to keep going further. If you're not, well, it was a part of life. It's not your lifestyle. Just like
right.
myself. I got into this copper. It's not something that I say, oh, I'm going to do the copper and I'm going to put it down. No, it's my lifestyle. So now I'm eating copper. I talk about copper. My main whole life now is about copper. And I talk to people, hey, do you know about copper? You go, oh, I didn't know that. And there it goes. I got now the open door to keep going. You know what I mean? You got to find out what is your feed and how do you feed the people? Now, I got high blood pressure. That was my weakness. So I had to find the weakness, right? And then find the cure for that weakness and go past that. And now I can show another avenue. Like, I didn't know this till 40-something that you could eat copper foods. If I was at 16 learning that, I probably would have seen this differently. However, that probably wouldn't have got me on my spiritual journey. So as I say for your past, like the sisters, I was just saying stay present. And you'll see a better outcome versus get stuck in the past and say, man, they should have shown me about copper like back then.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. After your statement, I just wanted to let you know that I wanted to insert. Go ahead. You finish, but I just want to let you know I want to insert because we got like 20 minutes.
That was my point right there.
Oh, okay.
Oh, 20 minutes?
20 minutes left. Well, I wanted to ask you was two things, actually. First thing is what do you feel is going on with nature's program? Have you noticed that herself? You got elephants fighting me. I'm going to say tomahawks. You got elephants fighting. You got nature doing. You got trees that are, like this. I actually went to go talk to a tree and to hug a tree and do all that, and what they're saying is how we communicate with trees. That's true, because I did it.
Yeah.
So that's true.
Yeah.
The trees are talking again. They're communicating.
Yeah.
So what is nature's program in our time right now? What do you feel that's about?
Well, Nature's program is letting us know about reflection and how we need to slow down and be more humble towards it as we're identifying. Not to be scared of it, like my sister who I just talked to just a minute ago, she said, I had a mouse in my house, and I was terrified. I had to get it out. So she called the Terminex, got him out, and everything. And I said, wait, did you find out anything about him, though? She was like, no. And I said, well, let's look it up. And I looked it up, and it was talking about her. And I was like, see, these are the things that we got to tap into. Now, mind you, like the brother said, if it's you eating, McDonald's food, and you got somebody else who's eating full vegan, they're going to get the information. It's just going to be on a different frequency. And so the tolerance got to be just like that. What's your tolerance pain? You know what I mean? What pain do you go from 1 to 10 when you get into pain? What's your fear? Same thing. What's your love? Same thing. All these are going to be a level of you finding what level you're at. So she found out she's not at the level of, like, meeting the mouse, but yet she's on the level of, I ain't going to kill it. I let somebody else do that. So now it's like, okay, should you kill it? I don't know. We'll figure that out later. That's that thin line we were talking about. Finding out, okay, well, maybe next time if I do a certain type of ritual like you did with the tree, hugging it, I do the same thing. So maybe next time she could actually have a enlightenment by that actual mouse. My father, he ended up in a crib, and he was left in there. And he was, like, mad and disturbed about it for quite some time. But he said the rats got into the crib and was eating at his fingers and messed his fingers up. So he always had that, what we call that phobia word. That's not really real. However, we created in our imagination so that now it can become real. That's that life and lifestyle. This is that same explanation, even for myself, when I look at if I'm able to see the outcome, there's another way of wielding that outcome in a different manner, like how you see Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson was in a place where he was like a dark centering place, and his father basically had him do a lot of work that he didn't feel like. What I saw the sister going through from that doubting mother that was talking about, I got this, she my daughter, and I love her. Somebody else said, do you hug? Somebody said, go hug your daughter. She said, I do hug my daughter. She didn't do it. So I was like, what are you doing? Anyway, her daughter was in a sunken place. She was sitting there. She was, like, miserable the whole time. Same thing with Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson, you might think Michael Jackson was having fun. He was having fun because he loved singing and dancing. He's better than all the dancers in the group. They weren't no dancers. He was the dancer. And then him being a Virgo. So there's a lot about that. Anyway, he's another gate opener. Comes out the gate at 5, now you a gate opener at 6. So when you realize what he was doing, he was around older people. He had to do a lot of shows that had nothing to do with him, but that's where the brothels and the parlors, he had to go in them rooms, the dark places. And so he's seeing things that we do as an adult. This is what we were talking about earlier. And a child that we see wants to see it, so they want to be an adult too. But then when they get to the adult, they're like, dang, I don't want to be like, they're going to go back to being a child. So that's what he ended up being like. And people's like, I don't understand Michael Jackson. Well, he never had a childlike ability. He was being childlike in his mind, but then they made him childish with his childlike ability. So what he did was he found a mouse. Now, a lot of people probably know it from Jackson 5 in the cartoon. They would show him with this mouse. And Ben. It was showed that the mouse was like, huh?
Ben. You talking about Ben. Ben is his
Ben.
Name.
Yeah, see, you know the name. You know what Ben is?
Oh,
back?
Yeah.
No, I mean the word. You know what Ben is back?
Neb. Neb what?
That's Neb Netcher. Mother Nature. So when they give you stuff like that, it's a clue.
Uh-huh.
You're always going to get the contact, too. That's right.
That
you're going to get the contact clue. All right, so he had a mouse, but his mouse was his favorite friend. He made it as his favorite friend, not his only friend, his favorite friend. So he put a big imagination over the mouse and then his friends, and now they got mice. And this one, his is his best one, and he got the other ones, they're friends to him. So he made his own little nationality of people in animals. And these animals are the totems. That's why the animals are upset. They've been upset. We done moved over, put houses on their stuff. We done knocked the environment all off whack. We're talking about we a part of the ecosystem. What you doing that's aquatically? No, from the Aquarius energy. Because, you know, Aquarius, if you think about Aquaman, he would do this thing, go, he's like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, he's throwing out echoes. He's trying to get the bats to come over here. Or he's trying to get the dolphins to come out of the water. You're like, oh, man, how you do that? They play music. Your tone is also music. You have notes that's in you that are music. But the dollars, if it don't make sense, is because you're thinking about the dollars and not the notes in your body. And so it's important to learn that don't go too far astray and say, oh, I want somebody to take over me while I do this part. There's a thin line between that. We call them agents. That's why you see the Matrix. They show you the agent in between. They want your lifestyle, but they want you to change it in a different life setting. So that way they can take your lifestyle away from you. Now, if you go on a boat and you up there and you say, oh, I love this lifestyle. You never seen a dolphin or a fish or anything out of the water. It's going to freak you out. Well, how about you don't respect it too? Now, that's going to make it worse. So the elephant, all these things that are attacking, the gorilla, if you was eating gorilla meat and you ain't never think about it and your family went in traditionally eating gorilla meat, well, guess what? The gorilla coming for you. You've been eating gorilla all your life. You don't think nothing wrong with that? You just thought it was cool to eat gorilla? You just going to kill this gorilla right now. He right there. Go ahead, kill him. No, I don't want to do that. Well, you ain't hungry right now? You know what they did with people in the actual time of the ancients? When we talking about Kemetic time, when they wanted to show they proof to themselves, they would give them a testament. How they would test themselves is to see they can get past their fear. Now, of course, some who couldn't get past their fear might have died. Now, this is what I mean by this. The cat basically said, you're going to jump in this water. I ain't going to tell you what's in here. But what I want you to do is I want you to get from one side to the other, right? And they'll put, like, these poles in the water, one side close to you and one side way on the other end. So that way when you think that you're there and you doubt yourself and you come up faster or quicker, you're going to run into that pole because you're going to go under the pole trying to get in the water. That's where you're going. You don't know where you're going, though, so that's where the doubt starts. You go up under there and you come on out, you're going to end up seeing these two crocodile alligators in there. You go, oh, shoot, I'm going to go up right now. But when I go up, I'm going to keep on going, and that's where you're going to run into the log. So now you see the alligators and the crocodiles. You say, oh, man, they're going to kill me. But guess what? They fed. You don't know if they ate or not. So now because you see them, you're in fright. You're thinking they're coming to get you. They ain't coming to get you. They full. They ain't dealing with you. They in there as a mirage for your hind part. So instead, you ain't go deep under it, go all the way down to the bottom, because that's what most people already want to get the breath. They're thinking about breathing already. You got to go all the way down to the bottom, go as far as you can till you hit the other side, and then go up. And that's you getting out of the initiation. Now, most people died in that. And they realize, let's just stop that, because we don't want people just dying. Because a lot of us find out we're a coward within ourselves. But it's because we doubt ourselves so much, that's how we become a cow, not a bull. See, the bull represents a bull, like you're able to. But if you're a cow with words, then you'd be a coward. Why do you think they came up with chicken? Be a chicken belly. They want us to think yellow belly as a chicken. So chick, hen, the egg, the embryo, eating the embryo. You got all those bumps on your face? You're losing your hair? It's because you're eating the embryo of the baby. The baby getting you back now. You're taking out the umbilical cord that's in there, all the yolking. Yeah, that's a lot to deal with. Even for myself, I look back and said, dang, I was eating ice cream? Oh, I was actually eating pus? But who would have thought it would be in pus? But you got to go back to the origin. If you don't see it as the origin, this is why we all still got delayed issues. And you're saying, oh, the devil did it. Oh, God punishing me. No, your ignorant self is punishing your own self. You ain't want to pay attention to it. Yeah, it's somebody Let's else. Cut. It ain't me.
Yeah, Eternal, we got to cut it. Got to cut it. So, I get it. I understand, you know, pretty much what nature's of Maya, as we have been discussing, you know, this is a time of Maya. my yacht, you know, is pretty much, it seems like what, you know what, I guess what it is. Everything it is what it is. No. What I was going to say was that those that was last will be finishing first. That's it.
That's what it is. That's what it is. It's called Ignis.
Yeah,
Ignis,
I mean, we saying the same
Ignis.
Shit, but my yacht.
Yeah, it's there.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so my yacht, guys. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so guys, the Lion's Gate portal, you guys, I encourage you guys to research, understand what it, you know, means for you. You know, I hope that this podcast pretty much kind of gave you the grounding, right, that you need in order to come and draw your own conclusions. Just know that everything that may have seemed like it was first, may have seemed like it was sliding, may have seemed like, you know, nature is taking our power. There it is. That is the message where the Lion's Gate portal is about, taking your power back. Bam.
Right, that's right.
All
right,
guys. We here on the Monday. So, guys, thank you. Definitely appreciate you guys. I see that how it's flowing is that we're going to kind of randomly come in on days. I see that that looks like where it's going. So, I mean, that's great because, guys, we used to be on 7 days. We used to be on 7 days, 3 hours a day, eternal, every day. We did that for 2 years. Can you believe it?
I didn't know that. Dang, that's deep.
Yeah. We was on, like, 3 hours a day for 7 days a week. Me, Chisay, Shetty, LJ, like, we would be, we put in time. Do you hear me?
Routine.
Guys, thank you. Hope you guys enjoyed this, guys. Lionsgate Portal, I think that this was a great advanced, elevated perspective on what the – man, that was a powerful lecture, you guys. It's in the show notes. Go
really
back and listen to that. I'm going to go back and listen to my damn self. Go back and listen to that, guys. So, all right, guys, that's all I have for you guys. Join us this weekend, Enhancing Awareness Radio. We have Spiritual Soul Sunday, and we have Motivational Classroom every Saturday. On this Saturday, I got the Boule. This Saturday is going to be open, actually, because I have a Boule podcast, but some of these suggestions that you've been giving here recently, Eternal, I may end up inserting that. So anyway, guys, just join us. It's going to be open segment this Saturday on Motivational Classroom and Spiritual Soul Sunday. All right, that's all I got, Eternal. Go ahead and take us out.
All right, you remember Akir, A-K-E-R. A-K-E-R is Akir. Then there's a name called Masha. Masha is the masculine lion. He has the dagger. He's basically the guardian until, you know, the war changes. He's more the guardian in the war. Then you have Beset, also a lion, what they call the cat. And then you have also Sekhmet. These are the three versions of the lions. Through this lion gate, a lot of us are going to be facing these lions. And so it's not about you facing death. It's going past the depth, going through the depth. So in other words, if you got a lion's mane, it's basically saying that if you was in Africa or Kemet, you had to actually slay the lion in order to become the lion, not eat the lion so that you can be the lion. There's a little difference. Somebody else changed that to the barbaric way. We had a spiritual way of learning through your lion ability, the L-I with the ions. Know your ions, what L-I is. L-I is ill. Ill is E-L also, so reverse the energy. On is also no backwards, so that's your nose. How do you know things? Because you know it till you don't know it. When you don't know it, now is how you knew it. A new represents the beginning of the end. So it's always a never ending and a lesser beginning. Give thanks. Ashe. Ooh, give thanks. Respect. Going through the gate now. Let's go. This is where the time is getting slow while the time is speeding up at the same time. Let's go. Ashe. Ashe. Ooh, respect.